Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, guys.
How do you think Louis DeBrusque felt last night? What a moment. Watching your kid do that after a great series already and game-winning goal. Amazing.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
He is that.
That's the only way I can sum up thinking about Louis watching his son, Jake.
He's nicer than Craig Simpson, Greg Millen, and Gary Galley combined. That's not true. That's not true. Those are all great guys. Don't know why I said that.
Yeah, throw in Elliot and Kelly.
Awesome tension 2 weeks into this 9-week marathon on the set. I like it.
Well, listen, it's tough watching another collapse 5 years later.
I know.
Come on. You're up a goal. You give up 4 in 18 minutes. In our pregame show, they did a feature on the collapse of 2013. And I got to be honest with you, we're sitting there going, like, really? We want to show that? Really? And you're sitting there going, did that just happen again? Did they just find another way to lose 5 years later? And the answer is yes they did.
All right, we've heard so many times, and I mean, we've never been there. Nobody sitting in this room right now has ever played in the National Hockey League playoff game. So can you learn? You have to go through an incredible disappointment to allow you to win. Is that true? Does this help?
No, it doesn't help. I hate, like, it's so funny. Sometimes you sit there and you go, "Oh, we got to learn from this." And the truth is that's not going to be the same lineup next year. It's going to be a completely different feel for a different team. So there'll be new lessons for new guys to learn. But here's the bottom line: the better team won in the Boston Bruins, and you can't keep asking your goalie to stand on your head. This doesn't even go seven games. Doesn't even go seven games without Freddie Anderson. And I know he's taking heat as well today, but you watch the way the Leafs have played this year, and many of their wins were really relying on the goalie to be the first star every night. And it's really a hard ask in the playoffs to do the same thing. Okay, that roster wasn't good enough to beat the Boston Bruins. That defense was never good enough. It wasn't good enough at the beginning of the season. It wasn't good enough throughout the regular season. And it collapsed in Game 7. And you watched the same mistakes over and over again during the regular season, and you never fixed it. How many times did we watch Jake Gardner behind the net get caught? And then it happens in Game 7, and, like, why are you surprised? You never fixed it. You know, Zaitsev, 5-4. It's 5-4. You got 8 minutes to go. You're still in the hockey game. You got the puck behind your net, and then you go to this predictable stretch pass that everybody knew in the building is coming, especially the Boston Bruins. And then 15 seconds later, off a stretch pass, the puck is in your own net. And Zaitsev and Gardner are caught behind the net. And you're sitting there going, I watched that all year. Why are we surprised that it happened now?
Okay.
So, that's it in a nutshell. Blame Anderson, blame, Matthews, but the roster wasn't good enough to beat the Boston Bruins.
Was that not?
You can't learn off of that. You just need to change the roster.
I got a lot here. Was that not a better blue line than the one that played the Capitals last year with lots of Hunwick minutes, lots of Marinson minutes, Pollock's out, Carrick's in? Is this group not better with everybody a year more experienced? Riley and Gardner had 50-point seasons. And Hainsey adds veteran. Everybody liked the Hainsey. Is it not a better blue line than last year when Freddie Anderson played better and they gave up way less goals and certainly way less bad goals? It's better, right?
better, but not good enough.
Okay, not good enough, but it's better. And enough. So the goalie was way worse than he was last year. I get you, Nick. He got them to game seven. That's an all-time Leafs playoff turd. That's an all-time game seven around the league turd last night. All time. Yeah. Alan Bester and Ken Reagan could call us today and go, geez, I never played like that in the playoffs. They didn't. They never had a game like that.
Yeah.
Andrew Raycroft never had a playoff game like that, ever.
Just, okay, so are you going to focus on better or are you going to focus on not good enough? Which one is it here?
It's both, okay, because the goalie's not good enough either.
You look at that blue line right now, and you like Morgan Rielly, but Morgan can't carry as a number one guy, okay? They had no offense. Dermott was the first goal that they scored from the blue line. I mean,
and the coach should have played. The coach should play him more. You agree with that? 11 minutes, 20 seconds. The coach should be playing Travis Dermott more. He stepped into that power play and was excellent last night. Excellent.
Listen, if I'm watching Jake Gardner have a career miserable night,
yes,
I have to back him off. I have to, and I don't understand why Dermott didn't get a lot more ice time because of it.
Right.
And, you know, even when Morgan Rielly went down and I'm watching Dermott on the blue line for a power play, I'm sitting there going, good.
Fantastic. Good. Yes.
He's capable. He's okay. And then he comes out in the next period, first 2 minutes, stays with the puck in the offensive zone and gets a goal. And I'm sitting there going, this guy's flying now. He's flying. I got him. He's good. Roll with it here. And yet, It all just still stayed as predictable as that stretch pass, and you know that's not good enough from Babcock too as well. So, you know, I think that there's plenty of blame to go around for everybody, unfortunately, for Leaf fans.
And it's not the only thing that could have been done. As if Mitch Marner's instant offense, which he had been in this playoff and through the second half of the season. Why do you never add him to Matthews? You're the one guy who can put the puck in the net, you know as well as anybody in the league, you got him someone that can get him the puck more than anybody on the team, and they really never saw minutes together.
No, they never did. I think he's just set in his ways. I think Babcock just set in the ways, and it's just one of those things where he never wanted Matthews and Marner together at any point during the regular season. And if he did, it was almost to show people that, you know, this is why I don't want it, because it won't work. And, you know, for whatever reason, there has to be a strong bond between a coach and his best players. There has to be a trust. And Babcock didn't have it with Marner at the beginning of the season. That's well documented. But at the end, Marner became a real go-to guy for Babcock. And there was almost like that Freaky Friday where Matthews and Marner completely switched. And last year and then going into this year, Matthews was the guy, right? And towards the end, Babcock lost Matthews. I don't know what happened, but he lost him.
We got
and there was no trust anymore. And then Matthews can't start a hockey game. He can't start a period. He can't start a power play off a TV timeout. And for whatever reason, Babcock lost Matthews. And that also, I think, played a key part. Now, you know, he's injured. That, of course, you have to consider, but I just watched his body language throughout the last few games here and going into the end of the regular season. You're sitting there going, no, that's more than the injuries. That's something's not right here with Matthews, and I think that needs to be addressed as well.